Frank, Hayes, and JJ.
Hit it!
It's time for The Frangie Show on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
I don't need a new drug, Carlion. La Selva. I need a new wide receiver.
You got it.
Welcome to the program, everybody. Frank Frangie, Hayes Carlion, JJ La Selva with you as we look back at day one of the draft in the Brian Thomas show. This will be. We'll all talk about Brian Thomas, the brand new wide receiver here from LSU. We've got a lot to talk about today, so we'll tell you all about that. We'll talk about the draft overall. I got a lot of fun stuff. Pete Prisco at 4:30 today, not 5. Pete's got a show to do for his real job, CBS Sports, so he'll join us at 4:30. I know Pete's got a lot of thoughts about round one of the draft, so certainly I'll go through that with him. We'll talk that. Matt Paulus stops by from JOI. I'm going to ask Matt about a couple specific injuries. The neck injury to Latu, which I think is interesting, and the multiple ACLs for the most unusual pick in a draft I've seen in a long time, Michael Penix Jr. The most I'll never say bad pick, because if the guy goes to 8 Pro Bowls, it wasn't a bad pick. We'll see. You never know if it's a bad pick. The most illogical pick I can ever remember. I mean, if you pay Kirk Cousins, you're trying to win the Super Bowl. There's only one reason to give Kirk Cousins, $100 million? What did he get?
It's a mint.
So,
it was $180 million.
So the only reason you pay Kirk Cousins is you're trying to win the Super Bowl. Well, if you're trying to win the Super Bowl and you've got a top 10 pick, you would think you would use the top 10 pick to try to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean the guy won't be really good, but maybe the most illogical pick I think I've seen in, I can't tell you how long.
Yeah, it was a stupid pick. I mean, it was absolutely a stupid pick, and it's a pick I think they're going to really regret. I think they already kind of regret it. I mean, you've basically kneecapped Kirk Cousins before he's even practiced with you, and instead of adding an impactful player, he now has to play mentor to a kid that the second that Atlanta goes 3 and out, fans are going to be clamoring for Penix because he's top 10 pick. So it was great for the Jaguars because we never thought Atlanta was going quarterback. So it led to 6 quarterbacks coming off the board before the Jaguars got on the clock, which enabled them to look at the board and do a really fantastic job of saying, you know what, there's a lot of talent here, and we can slide back, and Minnesota overpaid, which compounded the good fortune. You know, and so the Jaguars end up moving back to 23. They get some really impressive draft pieces for 25, particularly that third rounder. And you end up getting a player in Brian Thomas that should be electric in terms of how he fits into this offense. And, you know, and I think is even beyond the size and the speed and the production, you know, just seeing him today and his family at the facility, I think from a temperament standpoint, he's going to fit in great.
Yeah, so I think so too. So how did they land with him? I'll give you my take on it, Hayes. I think with an NFL team, you know where you're picking, okay? And I think you have 3-4 guys that you like, right? I mean, I think that you have a handful. Now, you can dream big on others, all right? I don't doubt for a minute they allowed themselves to dream big on the big 3 receivers. And if Odunze had dropped 1 or 2 more spots, I could see them getting aggressive. None of the 3 ever went low enough for them to start really thinking about it. Trent Baalke spoke to that later. He said there was too much gap. I think we had that talk, that I think there was too much gap to allow you to try and do that. But I think you dream big. So I think you have 3 or 4 guys. My take is this. You get to 17, and you got 3 or 4 guys. You hope one of those guys are there, and you have an order with them, right? Well, you get there, and all of a sudden, a number of them are there. So, if a number of let's say there's 4 guys, and a number of those 4 are there, and the Vikings want to come up 6 spots, that's when it makes sense to get out of there, right? If you have 1 guy, you don't get out of there. If you have 2 guys, you don't get out of there. But if you got 3 or 4 guys that you like similarly, and you have an idea to what Trent Baalke said after the draft of what the guys behind you might do, and here comes a team bringing a lot of value and a lot of equity to trade you, I think it was the perfect storm to get out of there. I think there were three or four guys they liked similarly. And by the way, I think I can tell you Brian Thomas is the one of that group they liked the most, because I think he was telling the truth. Trent Baalke said last night and again today that Brian Thomas, if the Vikings didn't offer up the trade, they'd have taken Brian Thomas. I believe that. I trust me, that's accurate. But I think there are two or three other guys they liked. So if you like three guys and a team's going to come up six spots and you've got three guys or so and there's six spots, that's the risk you take, and it worked out wonderfully for that. For what they wanted, it worked out wonderfully.
It really did, and I understand that fans don't get too wrapped up. A lot of fans don't get too wrapped up in draft picks that are a year down the road, but it really is big-time currency. They have six picks now in the first four rounds of the 25 draft. Obviously, they have their first, their second. They now have two-thirds, and they have two-fourths. Why is that important? Because let's say you get to the deadline this fall, you get up on the trade deadline, and you want to go make a big move. You are armed. I mean, a fifth-round pick a lot of times can bring in an impactful player mid-season. You've got two-thirds and two-fourths. Now, they may use some of that tonight, and it wouldn't be a surprise if they did, because Trent Baalke hinted at it at his press conference today that the Jaguars are going to be aggressive and looking to move up from 48, which I think if they want a corner, they're going to have to, because I think the board's going to get pretty decimated between 33 and 47. So do you package a third-round pick, this year's third, the comp third, to move up, 11 spots to get to where the Chargers are? That might be a good fit in terms of how it would work out. So regardless, whether they use this capital tonight to move up or whether they are able to use it at the trade deadline in the fall, or whether they just keep these picks and next year you've got six picks in the first four rounds of the draft, that is really good leverage to have as they continue to build the team.
Well, one of the best things we know is this. He's 6'3", 209. He's a guy that ran 4.33 at the combine. He scored, and everybody knows the numbers now, but they're still egregious. Let me say them again. 17 touchdowns. He averaged 17.3 yards per catch. You want guys. Hayes, I always like guys that do it on the field more than guys that test well. I think I don't like testing. I like play. I like guys who are good at football. But I'm okay if a guy happens to be both. Test well and really did it on the field. And for one of the first times, we're going to hear a one-on-one interview with this guy who's so terrific. You were able to catch up with him before we play it. Appreciate you taking the time to go one-on-one with Brian Robinson. What'd you think of him?
Oh, I was really impressed with him.
Brian Thomas.
Yeah, Brian Thomas. Yeah, sure. First off, appreciate Jaguars PR for helping us out with that and their cooperation. It's obviously a very busy day, so we appreciate that. And, yeah, I thought that, he's very unassuming. There is no, diva in him at all. He seems very humble. I think he'll fit right in and very soft-spoken. So it was a pleasure meeting him, and certainly excited to see what Brian Thomas is going to be able to do on the field.
Here's a one-on-one with the brand-new Jaguar, Hayes Carlion, with Brian Thomas Jr.
We are pleased to be joined with Jaguars first-round pick receiver Brian Thomas Jr. It's great to see you. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. What's this last 24 hours been like for you?
It's been pretty crazy, pretty wild. With the traveling and long night last night, all the interviews. But it's been going pretty good, though. It's been pretty good.
You've had so many great athletic performances, both in basketball and in football. What's your favorite sports memory? Do you have one?
If I had to say one, probably winning my first Super Bowl in Little League. That would probably be my best memory.
Tell me about it. What happened that day?
That game, I actually had seven touchdowns in that game. I ended up...
All offense?
Yeah, all offense. Yes, sir.
Because you've returned punts and kicks for touchdowns before, right, in high school?
Yes, sir, in high school, yeah. But, in Little League, can't really punt or kick.
Right.
So, yes, sir, I was all offense.
What do you know about Jacksonville? Are you excited to, get down here and figure it out? Are you a big fisherman or hunter or anything?
I hunt a little bit, but I deer hunt. I'm just excited to be here, excited to be in this great city. It's a nice, beautiful, beautiful area. Just excited to be here and get to learn.
In terms of looking at how you'll fit in here, Brian, what stands out in terms of how you see the room with Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, and guys like that?
Yeah, vets. Just want to come in, soak up as much as I can from them, and just put in the work hard and see where that takes me.
You were offered by LSU in like the eighth grade, right?
Nah, my ninth grade summer.
Because they saw you at a camp?
Yes, sir.
Have you always had that flying 20 that has become such an important metric? You had the fastest one at the combine. When did you kind of have a feeling of, boy, I've got a gift that few athletes my age have?
Probably have to be like middle school, because I used to run like AAU track in like elementary and middle school. But in like middle school, I really started like separating from people. Early, I was getting beat a lot. In middle school, I really started like winning and separating from people. So I would probably say like middle school is when I knew I was going to be like a little fast. Yeah.
What was it like for you going from Ogeron to Brian Kelly and getting comfortable with that, and then obviously having such a dominant year last year?
Yeah. I mean, it's adversity, just something you got to overcome. But I mean, Coach Kelly made that easy. Just him being who he is, he made that pretty easy. And then him bringing in the coaching staff that he did, I was able to bless enough to have Coach Cortez Hankton, who had recruited me already at Georgia. So I had built that relationship for him. So it was easy. Yeah, I would say it was easy.
I saw a clip of you blocking against the Gators when Jaden broke the long run. How much pride do you take in that element of your game?
Like Coach Cortez Hankton would say, if we didn't block, we don't get the rock. Or if we don't block, you're not even going to get out there on the field. So, I mean, you got to take pride in that. Just being able to be a great teammate for your teammates, because the running back might have to step up, make a big block for you, for the quarterback to throw it downfield. So just doing that and being a great teammate.
Brian, thank you so much for your time. And once again, congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Brian Thomas Jr., the brand new Jaguar, one more time, 6'3", 209, ran 4.33 at the combine, over 1,100 yards, an amazing 17 touchdowns that led the nation last year, 17.3 yards per catch. And I tweeted this last night in the wee hours, but let me say it again now. Gabe Davis, in the last 2 years in Buffalo, scored 7 touchdowns each year. He averaged 17.8 yards per catch 1 year and 16.9 the other year. So combined with Brian Thomas Jr., who averaged over 17, between them in the last, and by the way, he scored, I think, 7 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns a year before Thomas, something like that. What was his junior year?
Brian Thomas scored 5 the year prior.
So he has scored 22 touchdowns in the last 2 years. Together, they've scored 36. Let me see this number again. Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas Jr. have scored 36 touchdowns in the last 2 seasons. I mean, touchdowns are hard. The touchdowns aren't moving the sticks on a first down. They're not a first and 15 hitch for 7 yards. They're touchdowns. Brian Thomas at LSU against SEC competition mostly, and Gabe Davis against NFL competition completely, scored 36 touchdowns between them in the last 2 seasons. It looks like the ball's going down the field. I don't think there's any other conclusion you can draw.
There's absolutely no other conclusion, and that will be the key is will they be able to allow Trevor Lawrence to have that time? But, you know, the other thing that Brian Thomas brings to the table is this flying 20 speed. And so basically that's the final 20 yards of your 40-yard dash, and it's become an important metric. So Brian Thomas's flying 20 was a 1.78. It was the fastest at the combine. Now keep in mind, Xavier Worthy set the combine record with a 4.21 40. Brian Thomas's flying 20 was better than Xavier Worthy's, and he's much taller and much more physical.
Wow, pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing stuff. So we'll talk more about the Jaguar draft pick in just a bit. Right now, though, I want to talk about the health. Matt Paulus is here from JOI. By the way, I'm going to take you off script. How are you, buddy? Good to see you.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Whatever you have planned, I'm changing it, just so you know that.
Okay, fine.
Because you're adaptable. Yeah,
I'm not nimble on my feet, but I'm nimble on the talk.
You are nimble on that. So it's great to see you. How you been? How's your summer been? Good?
Good.
Your spring,
yeah, it's getting hot again.
Summer's coming. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to cutting the grass when I get home today.
That's, you know what? Fantastic. That'll be fun. Now, Matt Paulus joins us from JOI once a month this time of year, and then every week during the season. I want to ask you about some of these injuries because there was some really interesting stuff in the draft.
Uh-huh.
Latu, the kid from UCLA, had the neck injury. It was a fusion?
Mm-hmm.
A fusion.
They had to actually take a disc out.
Yeah, and yet he got drafted. And a lot of people, Matt, believe he would have been the top player in the draft that's not a quarterback had he not had that. What is a fusion? And I'm sure it's not just blanket statement. There's a bunch of ways. But what does that mean? And isn't that dangerous for a football player?
In general, fusions use when a disc has lost its normal height in your spine.
Okay.
So, you know, say normal is 5 millimeters, you know, a herniated disc, you push out to the side a little bit, you get some nerve compromise. When that happens, you know, if it continues to collapse, the disc goes from, say, 5 to 2 millimeters or 1, then that's a problem for the rest of the spinal cord. So you need to try to reinstate that height back in the vertebrae. So a fusion is basically they go in, they take out the disc, they put in a spacer, basically a piece of metal that goes in between. They sometimes put screws on each side and rods on each side to help hold the height while that piece of metal between the bones heals in. They usually pack in either bone growth material, or they'll harvest some bone from your iliac crest, the side of your hip.
Okay.
And they'll pack some of that bone in there to ensure that it solidifies inside that space and maintains that height going forward.
And the danger going forward is with the football player. I mean, again, it's already, first of all, the Jaguars aren't in play for him. It's gone. He's already been taken. So I can now ask you this specifically. Would you have shied away from that guy? Knowing everything you know about the body, I mean, you know this better than anybody. Would you have shied away because of that?
Yeah, especially the position. You know, it's just, you know, anytime he's going to get his head flexed down, you know, and with a defensive end like he is, it's not necessarily more him tackling somebody. It's somebody coming in from the opposite side. You know, that's where you worry, because, you know, you could flex that down. You could break. The screws or the rod that's in there with it. Depends on what kind you had done, obviously. Sometimes they do a cage from the anterior side. So like on the – so for both cervical and lumbar, so neck and low back, they can either go posteriorly or they can go anteriorly. So anteriorly involves a little bit more surgical procedure. You have to move more organs, stuff out of the way to get to that area. But usually the fixation's a little bit better because you can put a cage on – the bigger side of the bone. When they do it just from the backside, from the posterior side, you know, the reason why they're putting in pretty long screws and rods to help solidify that, just because it's not as secured as the anterior approach.
Would have given me pause. Hey.
I wouldn't have taken them. I mean, I just wouldn't have. I mean, to me, to take a first round pick, the picture needs to be pristine.
Yeah.
There can't be a dark cloud on anything. And the fact that he had to retire for a year.
Yeah, he left Washington because they wouldn't clear him.
Right.
So obviously the doctors who did the stuff, I'm assuming it was the doctors there did it. He could have gone somewhere else and had the procedure done, but probably they said, yeah, we're not comfortable with this. And, you know, it's those things you play, you know, the odds of, you know, what are the chances of this guy getting hurt again? And, you know, most teams probably thought it was too high to spend that high of a pick on them.
Matt, as a medical specialist, I've always wondered this, and this goes back to when I was in college. This Scott Brantley, you remember Scott Brantley Hayes? Scott Brantley, the linebacker for Florida, went on and played for the Bucks.
He got his number retired for some years
for a while, and then got unretired. So he's this great he's this great linebacker at Florida in the 70s when I was there. Okay, he he breaks his neck.
He didn't do anything wrong to get it taken away.
Okay. I know the name a little bit, but I didn't hear
we're not going to have retired numbers.
He's retired him. Yeah. But seriously now, so he has this bad neck injury, and Florida announces he can never play again. Mm-hmm. It's career ending. Okay, and I'm at school. The Gators fans are devastated. Scott Brantley, this all world linebacker from Ocala, who they've waited forever to have, he was a phenom from as a little kid, breaks his neck, can't play again. So the world's devastated. They retire his number. It was the only second number they'd ever retired. Spurs was the first, and his was the second. So they retire his number because that's how traumatic it was that for all of us as fans, he couldn't play. So his career ends. A couple years later, gets a second opinion. They say he's fine, or they say he can play. Goes on to play for the Tampa Bay Bucks for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess that's the world you're in, right?
Yeah.
Opinions are opinions.
You never know. You have different opinions and you have different comfort levels. Obviously, the technology from then to now for somebody with that type of injury is obviously much, much better. But still, it could be a factor. You know, it's something you just have to weigh and see whether you're comfortable with that risk factor or not.
All right. My other question, draft related. Michael Penix has had two ACLs on the same knee. On the right knee. Talk to me here. I think he's going to hurt it again. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I fear that he'll hurt it again. Is he more likely to hurt it again, or is he just like somebody who'd never hurt it? That question makes sense? I didn't ask that.
No,
very
it
well.
Makes perfect sense. They say once you get a year out, as long as everything went fine with the surgery, blah, 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 all that, you know, your risk factor of re-tearing is about the same as it was before you tore, right? Yeah. There could be many different factors that went into why it tore the second time. You know, sometimes the graft can be put in the optimized angle. Or it wasn't put in tight enough, or it was put in too tight. You know, these are all factors that play a role typically when we see somebody who's re-torn it again.
Yeah.
The fact that he has gone now, this is 2 years now, he's gone on.
Two healthy years, right?
Yeah, two healthy years. He's gone on this. I would imagine his risk factor is pretty minimal. And I think he still likes to wear the brace from what I remember seeing. I think he wears the brace. And so obviously that just gives added stability for not necessarily for him running around. It's probably more for when those pockets collapse and people are falling on all which ways and he can get rolled up underneath. That's probably more what it's going to protect.
Well, and I think his risk factor is low, too, because he's not going to play for 4 years. Because this was the dumbest draft pick that I've seen in a decade.
It's Jordan Love. Jordan Love. This is you all over again. It's Jordan Love.
At least Jordan
right?
Love was at the end of the first round.
And it was the second pick that they had. You know, they traded up to they had another pick that year, didn't they?
I think
already.
So.
Yeah, and that was the second pick of the first round for them.
But they took Jordan Love in like the high 20s, I think.
It was like 23 or 4 or something like that. I think
it wasn't a top 10 pick.
Yeah. For what, an 8 overall.
Did it just signed a quarterback and gave him $1 billion.
I have a buddy in Atlanta and I texted him today. I said, Penix ? And he's like, dude, my phone's been blowing up all day. People are telling me what the heck's going on. I just thought it was pretty funny.
Another dumb question.
Now, there's two things. Yeah. My initial thought last time I saw it, I was like, well, does that mean Cousins' Achilles isn't that good?
Yeah.
I don't know, but still, you know, those are that's right. What goes through my head as a medical person, why you would do that, but who knows? These people make all kinds of crazy decisions throughout the years, and you never know what the real factor is.
One other thought about Penix, and this is I'm getting in the weeds here, but the right knee is his plant leg.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like that's the target. I mean, am I overthinking
it's
that?
It's the lead. Yeah, it's his lead. I mean, the lead,
right,
yeah.
It's your plant leg. It's your lead leg. So that's the one that's going to get hit.
Yeah.
That, when Tom Brady missed a year, it was it was the left leg. And
the plant leg, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't worry. I say this now, watch it happen next year. I wouldn't. My factor on ACLs is we're pretty good on the surgical procedures, and we're pretty good on the rehab of those now, right? And then the maintenance programs after you have it done and you're still playing. So, you know, that's come a long way. I wouldn't worry about that too much for him.
All right, final thing.
I would worry more about his shoulders because he has shoulder injuries on each side as well.
Yeah, he
dislocated his non-throwing shoulder, and then he had a labral tear in his throwing shoulder?
He did
something like that.
He's pieced together with wire.
He's got a lot of ailments.
Shoulder is actually missing.
he's pieced together with wire. No, he really.
Yeah, he is.
A final thing, is he, and we talk with Cap about this all the time. You see these guys in the draft and you wonder, what previous injury would worry you the most? You said ACLs, we're to the point now that people come back and they're good to go, right?
Yeah.
What previous injury? Neck injury?
Neck and back. Are pretty high. You know, if somebody's lost a lot of cartilage in their knees, so if you want to go back to when the Miles Jack thing went down, that was a concern with Miles Jack. Obviously, he did fine. But those are probably the biggest risk factors. And then mine's Achilles as well. I mean, Achilles takes a while to come back from.
Do they come back good as new?
It's not like a Tommy John.
Right.
You know, typically a guy who has a Tommy John, they usually come back and are throwing actually harder than they did before. An Achilles, I don't think an Achilles ever really gets back to 100% strength. I think you're fine functionally and running and jumping and all that stuff, but I just don't think the same strength gets back. And if it does, it takes well over a year before it's back.
Matt Paul, that was great stuff, by the way. That was a great report. Matt Paul from JOI. Now you're going to go mow the lawn. Okay, yep. In the heat. I don't have any health advice for you on that, right?
Yeah, and then just want to part with the Packers pick.
Jordan Morgan.
T-Rex is what everybody's saying about him.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's
got the tiny
arms.
He's
got good feet, but he's got small arms. I'm like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding
me? Of course
he
does. Of course he does. Matt Follett. Matt, thanks, buddy. We appreciate
that.
We're going to talk more draft when we come back. Pete Prisco joins us from CBSSports.com, brought to you by Showtime. What did he think of the draft pick? That's next. Stay with us.
Time for all things Jaguars and NFL with Pete Prisco. The Prisco Report, presented by Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles.
Showtime.
On the Frangie Show.
Pete's Report is always brought to you by Showtime. We love our friends at Showtime. Phillips and Shad is where they are. By the way, a James Spence authentication will be in Showtime tomorrow, certifying all your autographed memorabilia. That's tomorrow at Showtime. From 11 until 3, so it's a good day to get in there, JSA. They're as good as there is in the business. You want yourself authenticated. Tomorrow's the day. And there's never a bad time to get to Showtime. Sports Cards and Collectibles, they do a great job. You see them on all the social channels as well. And as I said, they're at the corner of Phillips and Chad. Pete Prisco joins us from CBSSports.com. Brian Thomas Jr., Pete, did you like it? What'd you think?
You remember when I did my first mock and I came on with you guys and who was in that spot at number 17? It was Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Hey, look, you know I've been critical of Trent Baalke and I will continue to be if I don't like the moves he makes. So I'm going to give him credit on this one. I like it. I like trading down and getting extra picks and getting a guy who's going to be a big play, you know, playmaker. But more than that, it's a guy who can grow with the young quarterback together for years. You know, look, Kirk's a good player. Davis is an interesting guy, but he only got him for a couple of years. This is a guy you're going to have and could be the featured number one wide receiver that they've sorely been lacking. I love the move to get him. I know a lot of people want corner, but now you got picks and arsenal to go get some of those guys. So I like the move.
Pete, as you look at the Jaguars' weaponry now with adding Brian Thomas to Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, Evan Engram, Zay Jones, what kind of pressure do you think the addition of Thomas's size-speed combination will put on defenses?
Oh, it's going to be tough to match up with him. You know, and again, it goes back to what we said all offseason. You got to protect the guy. And that means, you know, Mitch Morse has to be big in the middle. You know, those other offensive linemen have to be better than what they've been. If you protect them, I think they got a chance to put up big numbers. Again, a year ago, I thought they were going to put up, you know, get near, you know, 500 points. And I thought, you know, Trevor Lawrence can throw for 37 touchdown passes and it didn't work out that way. Well, that hasn't changed my feeling on him. I think the offense was stunted last year because the offensive line, I think they were sped up. He was sped up. He was uncomfortable. He got hurt. They have the potential to go back now and become the offense I thought they'd become because they do have the guys on the outside to make the plays.
And I would think to that end, and you and I tweeted a little bit late in the wee hours last night about that, they got to protect Trevor. But what they haven't done is gone down the field. Isn't that what we're talking about here? I mean, again, I do realize, and I know it's college and pro, but in 2 years at LSU, the last 2 years, Pete, and in the last 2 years with the Bills, Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas, bro, they scored 36 touchdowns between them in the last 2 years. Now, I know I'm throwing in college stats. Pete, it was 36 touchdowns between those two guys. They both averaged over 17 yards a catch during that two-year stretch. Aren't they going down the field? Isn't that kind of the message here?
Yes, and he is a down the field threat. I love his game. In fact, when watching Neighbors and you know you always watch the other guys too. I kept going over there before I did my first evaluation of him, and I kept saying, "Oh my gosh, down the field, vertical threat." And I came out of that, and I think I might even tweeted it out. I said, you know, I love Neighbors' game, and I think he's the best receiver in the class, but this kid's going to be that kind of guy. Talking to people around the league, by the way, one of the things that I was told was Brian Thomas wasn't exactly the hardest worker in the building early in his career.
Yeah.
And he noticed what Neighbors was doing, and he said, hold on, I need to do that. And last year, he learned and he did that, and that's the result of that. I think he's only scratching the surface of what he can become as a wide receiver. Now, having said all that and really, really liking the pick and liking what Trent did in this draft so far, the curse of the wide receiver still hangs looms large mm-hmm. over that franchise. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget about that. We got this. Like this has to be the guy that breaks that curse, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You have to keep swinging. But yeah, it's a very low bar for him to be the best first round receiver that they've ever had. Pete is the other side to it, and I agree. You mentioned it. Are the compensation that they received from the Vikings to get a fifth rounder this year and then a third and a fourth in 25, they really are armed if they want to go back up tonight or maybe even be very active at the trade deadline.
Correct. And if they see somebody that they really want, if you like one of the corners, Kool-Aid's still there, and I know he's coming off the foot injury. Cooper DeJean's still there, who I think can play, really become a dynamic safety if you want to make him that down the line. There are guys there that if you like them, you can go get them. Frank talked a lot about edge. I don't really see a great edge in this spot right for them. They might have to, the Nealon kid from Western Michigan is an interesting kid, but he's not really a pure edge player. He's more of a put his hand on the ground kind of guy. So I think if you're going to eye something to go back up, you're either going to look at, one of the corners or maybe one of the offensive linemen. I don't think that there's an edge there that they go get.
I would be, and you're right. I loved Verse. Listen, I love the Brian Thomas pick. I really do. I love it on many fronts. That's who I picked in our media mock draft. But boy, I love Verse. I wish they could have had them both. I mean, you love Verse. I love Verse, Pete. Do you like him, Jared Verse?
I do. I think all if Latu's health stays the way it is, I think all three, in fact, all four, because I think Chop Robbins is going to be really good. I think there's a lot of good edge players, but it kind of drops off. So to your point, if you could have taken one of those guys, they could have had Turner, right? I mean, if they stay there, they get Dallas Turner.
Yeah, I like Verse better, by the way, than Turner.
I don't. Turner better. Yeah. I think Turner. Turner's one of those guys, Frank, to me. Verse plays hard all the time and really physical, and he's going to be really good even in the run game. Turner's one of those guys. I don't think he always played and they dropped him in the coverage a bunch, which was strange.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be better on the next level than he was in college.
All right. I would be shocked if they don't move up tonight. I don't know. You go to 48. Hayes, you and I are talking off air a little bit. 48 to 33 is too hard, but 48 to 40, 48 to 38. Pete, they're in their window. They've proven that. They were active in free agency. They got a home run hitter at wide receiver. I do think corner is still a need. I think there's some depth needs. I would be shocked if they don't move up, if they don't do all they can to move up from 48. Agree or no?
I think they're going to be active. I think they're going to go up. Let me ask you this. Could you take a nickel corner, go up to get one? Because the kid from Michigan, Mikey Sanders, still is such a good football player and a tough kid, but he's 5'10".
Yeah.
But my gosh, if you get him, you have your nickel corner for the next 5 years. He can blitz, he can attack, he can cover it. Man, he's such a good player. Can you go up and get a guy like that?
I'm being honest with you, Pete. I don't have a good enough eye to tell the slot corner from the outside guy. The outside guy's got to have more length. We all know that. That's your point. I think they are really bullish on Darnell Savage being their nickel. For whatever I think they whether they're right or not, that's the move they made. I think they got to find a guy outside. I think they whether they go up to get Kool-Aid, whatever they do, Pete, I think they've got to get a guy that – unless the guy you're talking about can play outside, I think they got to get a guy to play outside, don't you?
Yeah, probably so. Because I'm not big on that playing him there in the nickel spot. I think he's a safety. I think he's a pure safety. But if you're going to do that, I understand you don't draft a nickel. But if you're going to play him at safety and maybe more, let him compete at safety, then you would get draft a nickel. I think DeJean is in play. I think Kool-Aid's in play. Max Melton's an interesting guy from Rutgers, and they drafted a corner from Rutgers. But this kid is a tough, physical kid. And those kids from Rutgers, you saw the kid from that plays for Tampa, played the nickel last year. Izzy, he's a good player, and I think this is the same kind of player.
Pete, do you like Kamari Lassiter? He didn't run well, but could he be somebody if they're not able to move up? Most people believe he's somewhere between corner 8 and 12.
I don't love him, Hayes. That number's, 4'7" as a corner. That's just glaring. Does he play faster than that? Probably, but that's a big number. I mean, if you're 4'6", okay, 4'5", something, okay, but 4.7 is what his time was. That's really slow. So I would have a problem with that one.
Final thing, Pete, we'll let you go. Pete's a busy guy today, but I want to go around the draft off the Jaguars just for a second. The two storylines, all the quarterbacks, obviously, the six quarterbacks in the top 12, that's where the game has gone. I told Hayes this earlier. I'm not a guy that's going to say bad pick because if a guy, you pick a guy that goes to 10 Pro Bowls, it's a good pick. But honest to God, I thought the Michael Penix pick was the most illogical pick I think I've ever seen. Pete, you signed Kirk Cousins to go to the Super Bowl. Whether they go or not is inconsequential to this conversation. But they went and got Kirk Cousins and paid him all the money in the world to win the Super Bowl. And then with the top 10 pick to help win the Super Bowl, they drafted his understudy. I thought it was the most illogical pick I think I've ever seen.
Well, here's my take on it. And I had the grade to pick it. I gave it a B-. And here's why. I like Michael Penix.
Yeah, I think
Michael Penix is a good player. Here's the F. The F goes to signing Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And here's why, Frank. If you're at number 8 and you're looking at the draft stuff as free agents, because you kind of work them hand in hand, and you say, I'm at 8. Michael Penix will be there at 8. He's going to be there at 8. Nobody has taken Michael Penix before number 8. So why would you go pay all that guaranteed money to Kirk Cousins, who's that old, coming off an Achilles tendon? That's where you give him the F. You would have a quarterback on a rookie deal. If you're building this thing for the future, which clearly that's what they're trying to do, then you wouldn't go paying Kirk Cousins all that guaranteed money. So, yes, I agree with you. If you paid Kirk Cousins, it's a bad pick. If what you should have done, if you really like Michael Penix that much, you don't pay Kirk Cousins that contract.
Right, and doing the two together is just crazy, crazy stuff. Pete, great work as always. Pete's got a lot of work. Pete, next week we'll evaluate their entire draft. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
Pete Prisco checking in, and Pete squeezes us in, man. He's got a busy time right now, so we appreciate that. Brought to you by Showtime Sports Cars and Collectibles. Once again, James Spence Authentication will be certifying autographed memorabilia tomorrow at Showtime from 11 until 3. Get over there. You know it's at the corner. Phillips and Chad, they do a wonderful job. Frangie and Carline LaSelva with you. More in a moment. More draft talk. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now back to a Big Chief Tire Friday on The Frangie Show. Big Chief Tire. Visit BigChiefService.com.
We sure appreciate our friends from Big Chief Tire Company. They do a fantastic job with 5 locations here on the First Coast. Orange Park is the latest one. The west side, there's 2 over there, one on the north side, one on the south side, if you want to get your tires taken care of. Not just tires, a brake service, alignment, oil change, they do it all. They'll keep you running. They do a great job, my friends at Big Chief Tire Company. We've talked all about Brian Thomas today, both with Pete Prisco and you and I. We've heard your terrific one-on-one with Brian, so thank you for providing that.
Oh, sure.
On the program as well. We haven't talked about the rest of it. 6 quarterbacks in the top 12. We talked about the Michael Penix thing, which just seems so illogical. You called it a stupid pick. Pete called signing Kirk Cousins stupid. My point is, together, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. What else? So we've gone through the quarterbacks and Penix. Anything else jump off the page for you in the other parts of the first round other than what the Jaguars have done?
I think just the fact that the quarterbacks were off the board so quick and so many. I mean, there was talk that Bo Nix might, you know, fall. Could Penix fall? We sort of knew 4 were going to go pretty high. But to have 6 go as quickly as they did was just remarkable. But again, it worked out marvelously for the Jaguars. I think the Raiders did well getting Brock Bowers. I know they took Mayer last year, but there's, you know, nothing in the rule book that says you can't play 2 tight ends at the same time. And so, you know, Brock Bowers was one that we were thinking would be a big variable. You know, could he go as early as 7? You know, could he really fall, maybe go to the Colts at 15? Was there even a chance he might be on the board when the Jaguars were on the clock? I thought Vegas did a nice job pivoting because I'm sure they were disappointed to not get one of the quarterbacks. But I think they did a nice job getting Bowers. And then just the offensive line. I mean, again, that was a storyline coming in that it was going to be a record-setting amount of linemen. It ended up being 9. And, again, you could have told me a year ago, one day we're going to have a draft where the first 14 players are on the offensive side of the ball, and I would have said there's no chance that will ever happen. It is far and away the most one-sided draft in history. the longest either side of the ball had dominated the first round prior to last night was 7 picks. Well, this doubled that. It was stunning. And so, you know, I think other than the Penix debacle, I don't think there was anything else that I would say was a really questionable decision.
Right.
I think the Patriots made the right move. I would have taken May over McCarthy, Nix, and Penix. I think Washington hit a home run getting Jaden Daniels at 2. Obviously, the Bears hit a home run getting Caleb Williams in that trade with Carolina.
And Adunze.
Correct. And so, and I think Arizona was smart to not, trade back and just say, look, we have a great player in Marvin Harrison Jr. staring at us at 4. We're going to stay put. And same thing with the Chargers and Giants. Go, take the best left tackle. And that's what they did in Joe Alt going to the Chargers as they rebuild their offense. And then you've got Malik Nabers going to the Giants. So I didn't think anything other than the Penix one was greatly moronic.
Right.
And I thought the Bowers pick at 13 was probably the best overall value of the first round.
A handful of thoughts for me. The quarterback things, first and foremost, the offensive line as well. I agree with you. Xavier Worthy going as high as he did. He's really fast, and we are going to fast, quick receivers. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't surprised Ricky Pearsall went in the first round. That'd be a lie. To be disingenuous, I am surprised. But now that it has happened, I don't think they got it wrong. I think he's a really good player. Bucky Brooks, who's my dear friend, works on the broadcast with us, who's got a great former scout, player in the league, got a great eye. You hear him on it. You see him on NFL Network as well as on our broadcast. He's going to be with us some of the fall, too, and I'm excited about that. He texted me last week. And he watches so much tape. He goes, Frank, you rave because Bucky, well, I drag Bucky out to go watch Gator games. We're on the road, so I've made Bucky a Gator, whether he likes it or not. He said, you raved and raved about this guy, and I watched him with you. He said, I can't believe how good he is. This is not after he got picked. He said, I can't believe how good this guy is. He said, he's going to be a star in the NFL. So I text back, well, you got a better eye for that than I do, and I think he's going to be a good NFL player. I don't know that I'm at star yet. Bucky said, I'm telling you, there's a buzz about him that you can't – there's a buzz about Ricky Pearsall in so many front offices that you can't imagine. Now, a lot of those front offices thought they could get him early second. San Francisco shocked everybody. But talk about a guy made himself some money. Hayes, if he comes out last year, he's a fifth-round pick. He's a fifth-round pick. Now he's a first-round pick. What a story for the former Gator, Ricky Pearsall.
Absolutely, and it was hilarious to watch that video of C.J. Stroud online.
I know.
He's reacting to the draft, and he hears Pearsall's name and just melts down because he was hoping that he'd be a Texan. So – certainly that's a tremendous endorsement as well for Ricky Pearsall. And, yeah, so it's a great story. Obviously, they didn't have the team success that Pearsall was hoping for while he was in Gainesville, but certainly a tremendous success story individually. Hope he does, great things for the 49ers, and certainly that'll be something that Billy Napier can take on the recruiting trail.
And the other thing that did stand out to me, I wasn't sure where it would happen, is the run on both edges and corners did happen, which makes me intrigued with what the Jags do today. So we'll take a break. We got an hour to go in the program. We're going to kind of reset it for you, talk a little bit more about Brian Thomas Jr., a little bit more about why they took him, what they might do tonight, what our expectations are, and some other comments Roger Goodell made, including an expansion of the regular season schedule that we all know is coming, that we've known is coming all along. That and more in the second hour of the show. Stay with us.
I think we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. I don't think we need preseason.
Waste of time, right, and energy.
I don't buy it, and I don't think these guys like it either.
Well, they have to spend full price for the tickets for those games.
No, they're actually discounted now. So
thank you for doing that.
We got
thank
that
you.
Done.
Thank you.
That's our commitment. Thank you, commitment.
But the reality is, I think I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season any day. That's just picking quality, right? So if we got to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. The other thing it does, which I thought you were going to, is that ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a three-day weekend, which makes the Sunday night, and then you have Monday off. So that's
wow.
Now we're cooking.
Now back to a Big Chief Tire Friday on the Frangie Show. Big Chief Tire. Visit BigChiefService.com.
Frangie, Carlion, La Selva, hour two of the program. By the way, I need you to shout. Obviously, we're going to do a shout-out today. So the best shouter gets a custom T-shirt that says I had the best shout of the day. That comes at about 5:15, 5:20. So be ready. We want to know what you think of the pick. What do you think of Brian Thomas? What do you think the Jags should do tonight? You got 20 seconds to be the best caller. Make some sense. Be logical. Have some fun. And be the best caller, and you're getting that custom T-shirt. What do you think of day one of the draft from the Jaguars' standpoint? So we're going to do a shout coming up in just a bit. That was Roger Goodell on the McAfee Show. Look, Hayes, the minute they went to 17-3, we knew 18-2 was coming. There's nobody in the history of the world that has ever followed the NFL that didn't know 18-2 was coming. 17-3 is going to be in its third year this year. I'm not sure it makes it to its fourth year. I agree with it. I agree with Roger Goodell. The players' union's got to agree to it. That's the big thing. But preseason games are not enjoyable for the fans. Get it to where there's 18 games that count, two games that don't. There's not a doubt in my mind that that's where we're headed.
Yeah, and you go with two bye weeks, and that now makes the regular season a 20-week event, which is glorious. And to Goodell's point, it also solves another problem that's been a topic for every Super Bowl week for the last 10 years, is should the Super Bowl be played on a Saturday? Well, this eliminates that.
That's
because
right.
If you're going to move to President's Day weekend, yes, not everybody gets that off, but a lot of people do. So it's certainly going to make more of the public able to enjoy Super Bowl Sunday without having to get up and work the next day.
Yeah, so there's no doubt. Again, I don't know how quickly they can change those things. By the way, we have people shouting out now. Not yet, folks. About 5:15, 5:20, about 5:20. We'll get your shout. So don't drive JJ crazy yet. So that's coming up in a bit. I don't know how quickly they can make those decisions, Hayes, but I would be a little bit surprised if we go another year or two. I think we're going to 18-2. I mean, how quickly do they have to collectively bargain that? Is that part of the CBA? Some things they can do that they don't have to be.
Has to be bargained. The owners can just go to 18-2, but obviously the pie for the players, I don't think there's going to be much pushback.
Yeah, to get more money.
Because they're going to get more money.
Yeah, I think there's an owners meeting in October. Can they dictate policy then? They can, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll bet you in the October owners meeting, okay, not the May, but I'll bet you in the October owners meetings, you will see an announcement that the 25 season has an 18-game schedule.
I mean, basically today, I think for Goodell to talk, he's savvy. For him to talk that openly
about it
tells you it's at the one-yard line.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And it's that's what they should do.
Right.
Listen, the preseason games are not enjoyable for the fans. They go because it's fun and they're at night and they have a party. But we all know that not much – teams take those games less seriously than it, particularly with joint practices now. Teams take those games less seriously than ever. Go to two preseason games, and you know what you'll have? You'll have about a quarter and a half of your starters playing, and you'll use the other seven quarters or so, I think, to cut your team, right?
Yeah.
So I think it makes a lot of sense. All right. Let's kind of reset it. Brian Thomas Jr., the 23rd overall pick, first round pick of the Jags, he's 6'3", 209. He ran 4.33 at the combine. He scored 17 touchdowns last year for LSU. He had over 1,100 yards. They have not had a number one receiver around here in a long time. He will give you that, let's hope. They haven't had to take the top off the receiver. I know Calvin Ridley, they said, was that. It never felt like
that. It never materialized.
It didn't. And I know he had been out of football for a few years, so it didn't have a lot of –
Now, if he connects on the bomb in Nashville
and
they end up winning the game,
I agree.
It's maybe a different story. But they didn't.
But correct. And it never felt like – and he was a good player. He had a good season, but had a 1,000-yard season. But it never felt like, wow,
right.
You better double him.
Right.
And I will, and I do think the storyline for me – I tweeted it last night. I'll say it again today. The storyline for me is Gabe Davis and Brian Thomas Jr. getting here together, Hayes. That's two guys. Let me give you the number again. In the last two seasons, in the combine of the 22 and the 23 seasons, Brian Thomas at LSU, Gabe Davis in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, combined to score 36 touchdowns. That's an enormous number, and I know I'm combining a college number with a pro. I get it, but that's an and combined in all those games to average over 17 yards a catch. Hayes, they're going down the field, and I see that on Twitter. Oh, well, you got to protect that. The line's so bad. Enjoy the moment, Jag fan. There's still nine more picks or whatever it is to improve your offensive front. You went out and got a veteran center who's a pretty good player. You're going to have Cam Robinson every game, not half the games. Anton Harrison's going to be in his second year now. Ezra Cleveland re-signed and is a pretty good player. At least for today, enjoy the dream and the vision that the Jags are going down the field without trying to find reasons why that won't work either. I'm excited about the deep ball, and I think we're going to see it.
Well, and Doug Peterson talked about this today as well. I mean, the presence of Brian Thomas and Gabe Davis to a lesser extent, but certainly Brian Thomas's arrival, again, with that fastest flying 20 at the combine, that's going to open up the 12 to 25 yard intermediate
passing
game.
I think you asked the question. Yeah.
And so again, even if, let's say, the protection isn't great on a play, well, if the defense has to worry about if Brian Thomas is running a go route, stands to reason that Christian Kirk and Evan Engram are going to have some pretty good space underneath in which to work. So, yeah, if the ball has to get out a little faster, hopefully there'll be more separation there, in that intermediate zone, because the safeties are going to have to honor the fact that Brian Thomas can fly, particularly for a big guy.
Yeah, and certainly can really fly down the field. You know, some guys are quick. He doesn't have to be that. We're talking about going down the field, so I think that's a big part of it. So that takes you to tonight. They drafted 48 tonight. I will tell you what I said before, and I'll stand by this, and if I'm wrong tonight at 48, you can all tell me. I would be shocked if they pick at 48. I would be shocked if they don't somehow, some way move up. I don't know how far up. I don't know what it'll cost them, but they've got capital, Hayes, and they've acquired capital that will allow that. Don't think for a minute the acquisition of those extra picks last night can't and won't be used to move up from 48. They might move up. You know, Trent likes to move up and down anyway. That's kind of his thing. Back a lot. I would be shocked. Let me use the word again. Shocked if they don't move up from 48. Agree or disagree?
I would be shocked if they don't attempt to try it. Not sure they can get there. That's the thing. Here's the problem. When you look at the players that are remaining that didn't go last night, to me, it's about a group of about 10, and then it really drops off. So are the Jaguars going to be able to, in this instance, they might even have to overpay a little bit, which isn't bad because Minnesota overpaid last night. So you're kind of operating at a little bit of an advantage to start. But it's hard for me to see the teams from 33 to 40 really wanting to move out. But the Jaguars certainly are going to make every effort to try. So I wouldn't be shocked if it doesn't happen, because they may just not be able to find anybody that's willing to do it. But you don't want to give up, you know, stupid compensation. But I am concerned if they stay at 48. I think the corner board is going to get pretty decimated between 33 and 47. We've seen three come off the board already last night. My guess is you're probably looking at a minimum of six coming off the board between 33 and 47.
Who do you think? I mean, the McHistory, DeGene, there's some obvious ones, but go through all of them. Yeah. Melton, give me a list. Give me the list that you like there.
I would say that Rakestraw would be a guy that if he is there at 48, you know, that would make a lot of sense.
Tell people who that is.
He's the Missouri corner.
Right.
I think in looking at it, yeah, Cooper DeGene, I think he could even be the first pick tonight. The Bills could go receiver, but he's arguably the best talent that didn't go last night.
Is he going to be a corner at the next level?
I don't know. I don't like him, so yeah. I hope he goes before 48. Yeah. I think he's a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. McKinstry would be a guy, certainly, that would be very appealing. I would think he's going to be gone in the first three or four picks tonight. So if they want to go up to get Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think they're going to really have to be aggressive. Obviously Pete mentioned the Michigan corner. I would agree. I think he's more nickel, and I think they need more of a guy that can be really the opposite of Tyson Campbell. So I think there's a chance that Enos Rakestraw is there, but my guess is he probably isn't.
Did Georgia kid do anything for you, Lassiter?
I mean, yeah, kind of, just because
he's Georgia.
He's from Georgia.
He's good.
You know what
here's
I mean?
Here's what I'll tell you about him. You know what I'll tell you? He's good. You know
right.
why? Because he's at Georgia.
Right. I mean, he obviously was playing for the University of Georgia.
Right.
So he's good. Yeah, so
there
must be something there, right?
Right.
But Max Melton, the corner out of Rutgers, is certainly an appealing prospect. TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. So it's deep. And we talked about it a week or two ago. I mean, there's 19 corners that could legitimately get taken in the first three rounds. So if they can't move up, if they have to stick at 48, and there isn't a corner there that they really think matches that, you know, they could take a lineman. They could take an offensive lineman. They could certainly take a defensive lineman. Perhaps they would look at getting some edge help. And then with that comp third, then I think you're kind of pressured at that point to take a corner, whoever is the best available at that point for your scheme, with that 96 selection. So I think they certainly will try to move up, but finding a partner I think could be difficult, kind of like how it was last year when obviously we knew they made it very clear they were trying to move up and just couldn't find the right deal. It's going to be difficult tonight, I would think, but I think they'll make every effort to try and get up.
I think it's different than last year. I think they will. I think they'll be able to move up. Okay, we'll find out in a few hours, I guess. But I think it's a different scenario. They've got all that capital. We'll see. And by the way, for people that don't know, let me one more time what Hayes was going through. Cooper DeJean from Iowa, regarded by most as the best player still undrafted. I just see so many people think he might wind up being a safety, and I don't want a guy that does, to your point, a jack of all trades. Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, a really good player who, by the way, my friend Jeff Lagerman liked better than Terry and Arnold. He said he liked him. He thought he was the better of the two. And he said it well before Arnold went, so it's not like after the fact. He's available. You said Enos Rakestraw from Missouri is still available. He's an awfully good cornerback prospect. We just said Kamari Lassiter of Georgia, TJ Tampa, you just talked about, from Iowa State, is a cornerback that a lot of people like. Max Melton, we've talked about him, from Rutgers, a cornerback that a lot of people like. You get the point.
Yeah, Brugler has them taking Andrew Phillips, the corner out of Kentucky. Dane Brugler, obviously, this morning update released a mock, you know, with rounds 2 and 3, and he had Andrew Phillips going, again, the corner from Kentucky. So another name to kind of be on the watch for tonight. But, yeah, I mean, I think ideally it's going to be corner at 48, but I do think it's going to be, if they can't move up, I think it's going to be somewhat of a tough watch early on, because I think you're going to hear a lot of corners go off the board.
How would you feel if they took Braden Fisk with their next pick?
I don't think they'll do that, but I'd have no problem with the position. I would probably go with a different defensive tackle.
Different guy?
And it's nothing really against him. Obviously he's a great player, great motor. I still am struck just by seeing Braden Fisk at the combine and how small his arms are.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really, like, even just for, like, a regular person, his arms are not very long, so I could see that being an issue for a general manager, that's a trait that he really covets. So, in terms of a defensive tackle, Chris Jenkins from Michigan, you know, could certainly be a possibility. Newton is still on the board for Illinois, but I think he's going to be off very quick.
Certainly before 48. You'd have to move way up.
Right.
He's the most, even more than DeJean, Newton is the most first-roundish guy to me that didn't go in the first round. I think even more than DeJean for me, don't you think?
I mean, it's certainly arguable. And, you know, in terms of, again, you've got the Ohio State kid at defensive tackle, Mike Hall. He could be a contender. They could go offensive line. I mean, again, there's been such a run on them, but there's still a decent board out there. If they wanted to, you know, add a, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson is available. I don't think he'll be there at 48.
Because we need three or four centers.
Right. But, I mean, he is somebody. Zach Frazier is still out there, who'd be an excellent interior lineman. Certainly would be, I think, a fantastic replacement in 25 for Sheriff. And, you know, and now that you're beyond the first round, you can start thinking a little bit more long term. With these picks, I don't know that you want to get into a situation with Brenton Strange and Tank Bigsby where you got so little out of them. But I do think that in looking at it, if the corner board is really hit hard to start tonight's action, you know, they could pivot and do well at another spot and then again come back to corner in the third round, particularly if they stay at 48. Now, if they move up, it almost has to be corner because at that point, you're probably giving up your third. They only have one, and it's the comp third. So to move up 10 spots, giving up that pick, you almost have to go corner because if that's not a corner, well, now you're not taking one until the earliest fourth round. And now it's starting to get a little hard to expect that player to come in and immediately be a quality starter for you. That'd be putting a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yeah, I will say this. As interesting a second day as we've had in a long time, they're all interesting. But because of the acquired picks, not that it'll affect today, but it could affect today because they're capital that could cause you to move today. I think it's a very interesting draft. All right, here's what we're going to do. You ready for a shout-out?
Let's do it.
Are you feeling it?
Absolutely.
We want you to shout out. You get 20 seconds to make your point. But again, that's not 4 seconds. You get all 20.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a shot clock.
That's exactly right. How do you feel about the selection of Brian Thomas Jr.? Do you like it? Where do you think the Jags are headed? Who would you have rather them take if it wasn't him? How do you feel about what they should do tonight? Let's load up these phone lines. 641-1010 is the number to call. Our shout-out is next, so stay with us. You know you
make me wanna shout. Time to shout.
Woo!
Looking for the best shouter of the day. But you have to do it in 20 seconds, so let's shout.
All right, you know the drill now. You have 20 seconds to tell us how you feel about the Jaguars draft. That includes Brian Thomas Jr. That includes the trade back. That includes who maybe they didn't take if you didn't like that pick. That includes what they might do tonight and moving forward throughout the weekend. We want to hear from you at 641-1010. Phones are loaded. We knew they would be. Let's go right to them. Kyle, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked the pick, considering I'd like the dynamic of it reminds me a lot of Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins and those two players, those two receivers. I think he's going to end up being the better one. But I would have liked to take your adverse. You got 90% of your sacks and 2 guys last year. I don't know how you pass on a guy like
Burks. Yeah, very good.
Good call.
Yeah. Good. Very good call. Good work, Ben.
By the way, I would love nothing more than for Brian Thomas to be the next DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, I would. I would, too. I would, too. And I wanted Thomas and Burks. The rules say you can't have them both. Matt, you're up next. Matt, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Help is help, and we got some help where we need some help. So I like it. Try not to be so dead set on criticizing the guys that their livelihoods depend on these decisions. Try your best to sit back and enjoy it. Go Jags, baby.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
A nice positive message.
Well, but I do think we get so –
I hate that. Yeah. That's literally our whole job. Sorry, Brian or Matt.
I like Matt's call because this should be a day of positivity. Yeah.
Well, this would be a different show if the Jaguars had selected Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, exactly. In Atlanta, show's going a little different.
Let's go to Bob W. Bob W., you got 20 seconds.
Frank, this is going to be a shameless plug. I'm one of the few that have followed you and Uncle Dave for a couple radio stations. I don't have a comment on the draft pick. I just want a T-shirt.
Okay. Bob, well done. We appreciate the phone call. That, you know what?
You gotta respect
there's something
it.
To be said for candor there.
Yeah, absolutely.
641-1010 is the number to call for the shout-out. Let's go to Darren, who's up next. Hi, Darren.
How do I feel? Brian, the baller, Thomas, touchdown-making junior. He ain't no junior. That's a grown man. Welcome to D-Ball!
Okay.
Good stuff.
It is very good stuff, Darren. Thank you. A little over the top, but I like it. I like it. Very nice, Darren. Well done. Again, give us your reason. Did you like it? Did you not like it? What do you want to see them do? Let's go to the phones and talk to Adam. Adam, you're up. You got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I really love the pick. I just really hope we trade back up with those picks that we keep on getting and go into the early second round and get, like, a cornerback like Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Very good. Very, very, very logical. I like your
logic.
That'd
be a walk-off grand slam if they come out this first 2 days with Brian Thomas and Kool-Aid McKinstry.
I really believe that, too. I think that if they have Thomas and McKinstry at some point tonight, that would be an awfully good day. 641-1010, the number. We'd love to have you shout out to us. Let's go back to the phones and say hello to Michael. Michael, go ahead. You got 20 seconds.
Ball to 25. Trevor in the shotgun. Ball snap. Pressure coming. Trevor rolls left. Looking, looking. Fires deep down the left sideline. Caught. Brian Thomas Jr. to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jaguars. A 65-yard touchdown reception from Trevor Lawrence, and the Jaguars win to supplant the Kansas City Chiefs to go to their first Super Bowl. How good is that?
Phenomenal.
Well, yeah, well done.
Unfortunately, I just lost a job. Michael just took my gig. Michael, that was pretty good, by the way. That's going to get you on the ballot. Well done. What are your thoughts on it? We want to hear from you. Phones are loaded. We want to get to all of these if we can. Paul, you're next up. You got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, I love what we did on day one. On day two, let's use some of that draft capital and move up in the second round and get Cooper DeJean.
Okay, you like Cooper DeJean. Okay, very good.
I get it.
And by the way, let me say this. Cooper DeJean is roundly considered one of the two or three best players who hasn't been drafted yet. So people really like
him. The pick
like
would be very well received.
Yeah.
Like
that's
nationally.
Right. That's right. Yeah. No question. Let's go back to the phone. Let's say hello to Gonzo. Gonzo, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. All right, man. I didn't know it was going to happen in that fashion, but we got our guy. If you remember my phone call the other day, I like where we're at. It feels like the team did their homework. They're prepared. I feel like they were playing chess out there. I like where we're at with the rest of the draft in front of us.
All right, Gonzo, very good. Gonzo says we're playing chess.
And I will give him credit. I've got Gonzo in my notes from the other day, okay. And it says Gonzo-Brian Thomas.
didn't he?
I've got his I'm his witness.
You know, when we said who, yeah, that's exactly right. 641-1010, that's the number to call. We've got a lot of callers on here. The best caller gets a I had the best shout of the day T-shirt. Brian joins us now on the program. Brian, you've got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, I would say that Brian Thomas is a great pick, but I would love Kool-Aid McKinstry in the second round and then Devondre Sweat in the third round. So, but great pick by Ballfeast.
All right, very good. Thank you for the call, Brian. I'll tell you this. That does seem to be where everybody wants to see this thing go, is Thomas 1, McKinstry 2. Some people have said DeJean, but if you got McKinstry and then got Sweat also –
yeah, I mean, Sweat is interesting, obviously,
for
because the character thing. But if they feel comfortable with it.
And the weight thing, yeah.
I mean, he certainly is agile for a man that size.
Yeah, and not just the character thing, but as part of that is, can he be in shape? You got to be in shape playing the National Football League. You really do, but interesting stuff. 641-1010, the number. This is our shout-out. We want to hear from you. Best shouter gets a T-shirt. Scott, you're up next. Scott, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, love the pick. We got offense. 30 years, season ticket holder, and I've been drinking the Kool-Aid. And tonight, Kool-Aid. I need Kool-Aid tonight.
Scott, thank you. Scott's been drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And you know what? He wants Kool-Aid. By the way, what a cool name.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they take him just because I love the name.
Absolutely.
Let's get some more of these callers in. I said I was going to try and get to all of those. This is our shout-out. Robert, you're up next. You got 20 seconds. What do you think, Robert?
Great pick with Brian Thomas to help Trevor. Now, second round, go draft the guy who shut him down in the first game of the season last year, Renardo Green.
Okay, very nice. Renardo Green from the Noles. Okay, I didn't thought about that, but I like the call very much. Back to the phones we go. John, you've got 20 seconds. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. I'm a big fan of the Brian Thomas pick. I was one of the guys that was calling Balky a clown last year. I think we might have a competent GM. I'm just simply wrong. Go Jack.
All right. What about that? Is Trent Balky – some people are just going to hate Trent Balky because they want to hate Trent Balky. But all of it together, has Trent Balky gained more credibility with the fan base that didn't like him? I think he has.
Well, last night I think was an absolute – I mean, it'd be hard to argue with what he did last night.
I agree.
Gets three picks. Moves down six spots and still gets a player like Brian Thomas. So last night was a great night.
But I thought he had a good free agent period.
Yeah, I mean, I
thought his free agency overall has been good.
I would say I think the offseason he deserves a solid, you know, B plus, A minus, somewhere in there. And again, this is going to be a big night because this is where he has struggled. In these rounds, from round two through round seven, it has not been a pretty picture since he's been here. And so, you know, hopefully that changes tonight.
And last year is a great microcosm of that. And now maybe Bigsby and Strange become good players, and I hope they will, and I haven't lost confidence that they can, but they haven't yet. Good point. Matt, you're up next. Matt, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead, please.
I'm so fired up about the Brian Thomas pick. I knew it was going to happen for a long time. In fact, Coach Jerry Sullivan told me that the other day when I saw him in Publix. Anyways, I think we should go cornerback, get the best one possible that they feel comfortable with. And then we go back to LSU and get Mason Smith DL, and then we pay for an offensive lineman who's a veteran. And that's what we
do. All right, Matt, I like that. And that was a good call.
Yeah, it was. I love Jerry Sullivan.
Yeah, I do too. And I like the fact you saw Jerry Sullivan. That puts you on the ballot. Let's go to Kevin. We got a few minutes left on this. Kevin, you're up next on the shout-out. Go ahead, Kevin, 20 seconds.
Hey, guys. Love the pick. Love the trade back. A third and a fourth next year, that's huge. My favorite thing, though, man, when they were trying to interview Brian Thomas' parents and they asked, you know, Brian Thomas' mom, hey, how far have you come? And she just straight up goes, no, we came from Baton Rouge.
That was a great answer. I agree with you.
It was great. And at first glance, I was wondering, like, okay, maybe she just didn't quite get the question or that's what it was. But the more I thought, I'm like, man, I think she did that on purpose. So I just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on it.
No chance she did that on purpose.
No, it wasn't, but it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I think she just answered it literally.
Very literal.
I loved it. See, how far have you come? From Baton Rouge. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. John Jay, you're up next. John, go ahead.
Great name,
seconds.
By the way.
Yeah, it is. John.
Yep, I think people would be hysterical if they got Cooper DeJean or the Big Fig Newton. You could drink the Kool-Aid, but I want to see Leon Searcy doing backflips if he gets Cooper Beebe. Knock it out of the park.
Thank you, John. And if Leon does a backflip, I want to be there.
Yeah. Cooper Beebe, don't discount that, particularly if they can't trade up.
Yeah.
And so they get to 48 and they don't love the corners because you're taking maybe the seventh or eighth best corner tonight. I mean, Cooper Beebe could be there at 48. That would be a heck of a pick for the Jaguars.
Kevin, you're up next. Let's take two more calls. Kevin, go ahead. Was that Kevin? Did I miss Kevin? Kevin, go ahead. Oh, we lost Kevin. All right, one more call. We're gonna squeeze in one more call. Our last call is Ronnie. Ronnie, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Love what we did last night. Would love to see us go corner, offensive line, and defensive line in any order tonight. Johnny Newton's still there. We got some good corners available. I'm with the guy from earlier. Our GM's redeeming himself. Go Jag.
Well done, Ronnie. A good call. Got it in time. Very solid phone call from you. Nice work on the shout. That's all we're going to take today. Woo, we got a lot of
them. That was good. 16.
16 guys got in. We could have gone all day. Nice job. We will pick a winner. Somebody's walking away with a custom T-shirt. We'll be back to wrap the program after this. Stay with us.
Time now for What to Watch, presented by Best Bet.
This I gotta see.
With locations in Jacksonville, Orange Park, and St. Augustine, visit bestbetjax.com.
We sure appreciate our friends from the Best Bet. Early bird high hands are at Best Bet Orange Park every Saturday. That means tomorrow from 9 until 10. All kind of fun stuff going on at all three great locations. St. Augustine is just off I-95. Orange Park on 17. And, of course, right over there on Monument Road is the Jacksonville location. I'd love to tell you something fancy to watch. There's not golf to watch. Zurich Classics going on. But we're going to take a week off from watching golf because you got to watch the draft all weekend long. I'm a big... Will you like now? You're working the draft all 3 days.
Yes. Just,
okay. So you'll be working it. For people that aren't working the draft, Hayes will be down there covering it. Lock in, man. There's nothing much more fun than watching the draft tonight. Watch the draft tomorrow. It's one of the most fun weeks. It's also a unique weekend to watch. So I hope you get a chance to watch that. So if you get a chance, speaking of, so watch the draft. That is What to Watch. It is brought to you by the Best Bet. Three fantastic locations and a wonderful sponsor of our program. Really, for the longest
time. But which draft are we going to watch? There's like four different channels, including ESPN Plus had Belly on last night.
How was that, by the way?
I watched, like, funnily enough, I started watching it, like, right around the Pats pick. And it was great to hear him break down, like, his team, you know, drafting a quarterback and starting over without him.
Who was he on with?
He was on with Pat McAfee and like a table full of dudes I've never even seen or heard of before.
Oh, he was on the McAfee broadcast.
It was on like ESPN Plus or something.
That's perfect, though.
Because he kind of ripped the May pick, right?
I didn't see... The Drake May pick?
Yeah, I think Belichick was sort of like pointing out his flaws.
Oh, he definitely was. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't say like rip.
Yeah, ripping's probably too
that's
strong.
That's so perfect.
But
it's hard to tell when he's not enthusiastic about something.
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly like bringing the energy, but I did enjoy his breakdowns. I watched it for about an hour.
There you go. I did not, but I may take a peek tonight. We're going to dinner tonight, but at some point we're going to take a little peek. Speaking of golf, by the way, the Zurich Classic is this week. Great that you had Lee Smith in, you guys talking golf.
Fantastic.
He does a fantastic job. The Byron Nelson comes up in a week or so, and then the good stuff. The PGA is right around the corner. Quail Hollow was before that, 2 weeks before that. They go to Myrtle Beach and then the PGA, so a lot of fun stuff. Speaking of golf, sure is fun to watch Miles Russell continue to compete, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In Korn Ferry. Whether he makes the cut or not, he's been right in the mix for the cut, so we appreciate that. And we appreciate talking golf. Our golf segments are brought to you by Sunshine Turf, my friend Caleb Smith. Talk to Caleb today. He has done so much good stuff. If you want to put a putting green in your yard, if you want a turf in your yard, it's all the rage now. Everyone's getting them, and nobody does a better job than Caleb. He did so much at our brand-new Reagan Baseball Complex. You should call him at 904-892-0580. I'm going to give you that number again, 904-892-0580. That's Sunshine Turf. That's my friend Caleb Smith. He's the best at doing this. I may put the putting green in my yard. I'm telling you, so many people doing it, and it's a lot of fun. You can also have turf for your swing sets and just in your yard for kids' areas. So give Sunshine Turf a call if you get a chance to. And congratulations to Miles Russell for continuing to play well. We'll talk more about that as we continue along. Got a few minutes to go here. Let's look ahead. What are your expectations? Mine are that they move up. I'd be very surprised if they don't. Obviously, cornerback. Obviously, edge. Obviously, offensive line. I think those are the three spots that are going to get the attention, at least in the fan base and at least in our minds today.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really intriguing night. I think they're going to have trouble moving up, even though I think they're going to make every effort to do so. So I think we're going to get a curveball. I think they're going to stick at 48, but I think the corner board isn't going to be sensational. So I think they're going to go with somebody in the trenches. So I'd say look out for a big guy tonight at 48.
Yeah, you get a hunch you're not going to be able to move up, don't you?
Yeah.
My gut tells me if you were a gambling man, you'd bet they're going to pick at 48.
Yes.
I would be. We'll see. Because I would be. And they may not move up very much, but I would think my gut tells me they are really motivated. Again, when you're in your window, unless you're the Atlanta Falcons, who have no idea right. what the window is, okay? You know, but other than the Falcons, who get in their window, pay a quarterback $1 trillion, and then go draft a guy that's going to sit on the bench for 4 years with a top 10 pick. Still bizarre.
It's just moronic. There's no other way to put it.
Well,
it's
Pete
just,
Prisco made a great point. You did too. Prisco said, there's nothing wrong with drafting Michael Penix. He may be your future. He may be a really good player. Go get you some Michael Penix and build for the future. But not after you signed Kirk Cousins.
Right.
You knew
you were drafting eighth when you signed Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, right.
And again, Kirk Cousins should have, he should have 4 or 5 good years left. So the timeline doesn't even make sense. Were you going to pick up the fifth-year option on Michael Penix when he's barely played for you? I mean, it just – you know, obviously something could happen to Kirk Cousins and he gets hurt. But it just – considering they could have had Dallas Turner, they could have had Byron Murphy, they could have had Roma Dunze, just a massive miss by the Atlanta Falcons. In my opinion, I could be wrong.
This is a week for the draft talk around here, and that's all we talk about. But I do want to tell you very quickly what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I'm very proud of this. Tomorrow, the Players Alliance is going to be – we're bringing them to town. I say we walk off charities, Hayes is bringing them to town. You're going to do it out at FSCJ, North Campus, their baseball complex. Brad Frick, the terrific coach out there, is going to work with us. We're going to have – over 60 coaches at a coaching convention, all minority coaches. Major league players, you'll appreciate this, JJ, Marquise Grissom is going to be in
town.
Love him. Luke Collier, Lenny Webster, a number of four African-American Major League Baseball alumni here to work with young people in the inner city. Then after that, we're going to have our opening day, and our opening day is going to be for our Northside League. 700 players.
Wow.
Okay, 700 players are all going to be at our opening day tomorrow. They're all going to be in uniform. They're going to be taking pictures. I mean, from 4 years old all the way up to about 13. I mean, those four-year-olds are ready now.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're all going to be in uniform, and we're really excited about that. It's all happening at FSCJ North Campus tomorrow, so we're really excited about that. Really excited about all the little kids in the inner city that are going to get to play baseball. And then on Sunday, another coach's clinic, and then after that, our scout team will have its first showcase workout. 30 kids who will try and make this scout team, all minority kids, will play in some of the best 18U tournaments around. So it's a big weekend for baseball in the inner city, and we're really proud of it. Again, Unfortunately, it fell on the draft weekend, so I can't be there, out there as much as I'd like to, but it's really a cool thing. Our shout winner, by the way, is Matt. What, nice job, Matt. You dropped Jerry Sullivan around here.
Yeah.
You got a pretty good chance.
That's a winner.
Nice job, Matt. You are getting a custom T-shirt. Our shout-outs have been, our shout-ers have been very good shouting out, and it's certainly been fun having them do that. I love this. This what a fun week this is.
Oh,
what a fun week it is. And I think, again, to recap from yesterday, I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be a really good Jaguar. I really believe that in all my heart. And unlike last year, Anton Harrison's going to be a really good player. Anton Harrison might go to a bunch of Pro Bowls. But he's not fun to watch because he's a lineman. Sorry, Baselli. He's just not. It's going to be this guy may have some wow moments. Is he going to get number 11, by the way?
Yes.
Is he going to wrest that away from Parker Washington?
Yeah.
He's going to have to pay for it, isn't he?
I don't think he's going to have to pay for it.
I think he's going to have to pay for it. I think he got to pay for it.
I would just be patient because I don't know that Parker Washington's making the 53.
Well, that'd be the way you save your money.
Yeah, so I would wait it out, Brian, and check back. I think Parker Washington could end up on like the practice squad, but as soon as they release him, the number will be open.
Yeah.
So Brian Thomas takes the number.
Yeah, there's no chance.
And then when they sign Parker Washington back to the practice squad, if they do that, then he can just be issued a new number at that point.
There's no chance Brian Thomas is wearing 80, by the way.
No.
If he
said today, it was like, I mean, I'm wearing 80 now, but you know what number
I
want.
And if he doesn't get 11, if Parker Washington, A, doesn't get cut and B, doesn't sell it to him, he'll have something in the teens. Mm-hmm. He'll have 6 or 16 or something under 20. He's not.
Yeah.
Here's what I can tell you. Brian Thomas will not play one game in the NFL wearing 80.
Yeah.
By the way.
He'll be 11.
Yeah. You're convinced it's 11.
Yeah.
By the way.
Have you started thinking of your call for Brian Thomas?
Good question.
Well, if I had, I wouldn't tell you, okay, because then I'd have to do something terrible to you. So I have not thought about that yet. I have not, but I will.
Well, you've got some time.
I've got some time. You know, again.
The BT killer.
You know, I have to tell you this. Here's the problem,
you're
JJ.
You're allowed to use that one.
Here's the problem.
I'll let you.
I worked very hard on Hasta La Vista, okay?
Oh, that was disappointing.
And he turned out to be a terrible player.
Yeah.
So I can't invest a lot of my time,
this
JJ.
This guy's going to have to get in the end zone a few times before.
I mean, I had Hasta La Vista waiting. JJ, I had the day after the draft, I was ready.
Did he never have
one touchdown?
He had one.
And I screamed out Hasta La Vista. Got text and tweets. It was on. He never scored again. Hayes, he never scored again.
And I still don't think he has. I don't think he scored for Carolina.
Yeah, right. That's
and
exactly
is he
right.
with now Seattle?
I don't know. But, I mean, if you got you hold Hasta La Vista for 5 months, you deserved it. I deserved better.
Yeah.
Okay, I did deserve better. So, I have to work on him. Brian Thomas Jr., BTJ, that is it. Folks, thanks for joining us on the program. Don't go anywhere. Rick Ballew is next. He'll talk more about the draft. You know that's coming up. And we'll be here at the same bat time, same bat channel Monday, wrapping up the entire Jaguars draft. Thanks for being part of our program. We're out of here. For Hayes and JJ, I'm Frank Fran. So long.